Amen. If you know God has kept you, you ought to give him some praise. Amen. It just seems like that kind of Sunday. Amen. And we just reflecting on the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for us. Is there anybody just glad to be in the number one more time? Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord in this house. Hallelujah. We bless the name of the Lord in this house. Amen. It's good to see all of the saints in worship on today. I see that there's still some empty pews. Somebody's still vacationing, getting the last day in. Amen. But we certainly praise God for those who are present here on today. Also, so good to see Dr. Sims and the staff with us once again. Amen. We thank God for you and the work that's going forth to make lives better in our community. Amen. As I look over, I also see that Mother Hazel Harden is back in the number. Amen. Amen. God is a keeper. Amen. Amen. We also honor our Pastor Emeritus, Pastor Cole, in his absence today. We certainly lift him up in prayer. I pray that you would lift him daily, for this man has served 34 years at this church and still comes and is concerned about the ministry, that it would go forward. And so we should not forget about his labor of love. And anytime you get an opportunity to encourage him, please do that. Amen. There may come a day when the Lord takes him away from us or us from him. And let's honor those who have served well among us. Amen. If you can't thank him for anything other than preaching the word to you, and you got saved on that word, amen, you ought to thank God for his labor. Amen. Amen. And certainly we thank God for those who are worshiping today. We thank God for the choir that's blessed us in song, and the ushers who stand at the door. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Would you join us in a word of prayer? Father God, we thank you right now for this precious preaching privilege that you would use for your glory. Extract out of this vessel all you've ordained for this moment. Punish not your people for the frailty of this preacher. We thank you afresh for the mercy that's infinite and the grace that's gargantuan. We thank you, God, for all of your blessings that have been poured out upon us undeserved. We ask and pray, God, that in this moment you would open every heart, every ear, that we would be receptive to what your spirit will speak unto us. God, feed us once again with the strength and the nourishment from your word. God, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, for you're worthy. We thank you for the blood of Christ that was poured out on our behalf. It's because of Christ that we live, move, and have our being. Now, God, release those into the vineyard once this moment is over and past, to continue to bring glory with our lives of worship, that we might see the fruit of our labor and God work until the day is done. We thank you, Father, for these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Oh, no, not one. Yeah, no, not one. Yeah, oh, no one else can heal souls diseases. I'm telling you, no, 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 yeah, no, not one. For Jesus, he knows all. all about all of our struggles. Hallelujah. And he will guide until the day is done. Anybody know that today? Like the lowly Jesus. You ought to reach over and tell your neighbor right now. No, not one. I don't care where you look, you can't find it nowhere. No, not one. No, nobody will hold you in the midnight hour. No, no, not one. Hallelujah. 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 I had to remind myself of that this week, that there's no one else like him. Amen. That'll hold us in the midnight hour. Amen. 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 Psalm 139. If the Lord will allow, we want to make this a series. I'm not sure what part is going to come second, but I know today is where we are. But as I was in prayer, you know, coming out of the revival, I just thought about seasons of stagnation. And so if I could tag this series, I would just tag it, Surviving Seasons of Stagnation. Amen. Amen. Psalm 139, I'm reading from the King James Version. I'm going to read a little later from the Christian Standard Bible because I just like the language that it gives. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Tell your neighbor, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I didn't say that. The word said that. Amen. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Watch this. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. You may be seated. And I want to read that same passage from the Christian Standard Bible. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret. When I was formed in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw me when I was formless. And watch this. And all my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them even began. Praise God for the word of God. Amen. Amen. We're going to talk in this series, Surviving Seasons of Stagnation. And I want to tag this text today. The seed that is sown in me. The seed that is sown in me. James Garfield, who became the 20th president of the United States, before he was the president, he was the principal of Hiram College in Ohio. And one particular day, a father came to him and asked the question if it were possible that the course of study for his son could be simplified so that he could go through a shorter route to get his degree. Of course, Mr. Garfield replied to him. He said, certainly, we can do that. He said, but It depends upon what you really want to make of your boy. He said when God wants to make an oak tree, he takes 100 years to bring it to full maturity. But when he wants to make a squash, he needs only 2 summers. Now, that may not make much sense at the outset for some of us, but when you think about your life and all that God has put in you, I'm not even going to deal with what God has given you to sow in other places, but when you just think about all that God has put in us, there can become those times and those moments like that, Father, where we wish that our path toward fruition and manifestation of all that God has ordained for us would come just a little bit easier than the road that we're traveling right now. I wish the church were woke right now and just would follow for just a moment where we're trying to go. But if you were just to be honest, you can admit, can't we, that there are some seasons where you know with all that's in you what God has put in you. You know for sure that it was the Lord that gave it to you, the Lord that spoke it to you, the Lord that told you that he was going to bring it to pass. And yet, even as you sit here years later, months later, days later, weeks later, nothing seems to be happening. I came and I arrived to Hopewell this morning to say and report to you by the Holy Spirit that I understand exactly where you are. See, what can begin to happen is that we can become so frustrated with where we feel that we've been locked down and bound by, that you just want to spread your wings and fly into your destiny, into your calling, into your gifts, and into the fruit that God has. But it seems the more that's your desire, nothing seems to happen. And if you're not careful, the longer you spend in that season of stagnation, the enemy, I'm telling you, the enemy begins to work in those moments, and he begins to be that voice in your ear. See, I told you God ain't gonna do nothing in your life. I told you there was nothing that you had to look forward to, and he begins to frustrate us, and then our frustration takes over. And we begin to believe not what God has spoken to us and over us, but what the enemy is informing us of in our present season of frustration. I wish there was somebody here who would just wave a hand and say, Pastor, I'm in that place where I know what the Lord said. I know the plan that he gave me, but it just does not seem to be working out like I thought it was. And all of us, if we'll be honest, even as I stand here in the pulpit, all of us have those seasons where it seems like nothing is moving. Oh, I wish I had some help in here. I know we're in a physical realm where we're operating in the natural, but I'm talking about even more so in the spiritual realm, in the heavenlies, that it seems that there's nothing happening. Prayers are going up and there seems to be no answers coming down. You're sending out seed in all kinds of places, but nothing seems to be coming back to your address. And after a while, it gets frustrating. Nothing is being birthed. No members are being added to the church. Your ministry, your calling, your job, your career, nothing seems to be shaking in your direction, but everything seems to be going the other way. And there you are, nothing is manifesting. Nothing seems to be sprouting. But when you think about all that you are experiencing and all that the devil would do to you in those moments, the first thing I want you to notice is when you go to verse 5 of this text, you ought to thank God that he is a protector. Because here's the thing, that when you get in that place where you're so frustrated that you feel that there's not any reason for you to go forward and you don't want to fall backward, that's where the point comes and you want to give up and throw in the towel. And I thank God in those moments where I've been frustrated that God held me and didn't let me harm myself. Not only does he not let us harm ourselves, he does not let our enemies who are banking on our demise come close enough that they can harm us either. See, when you really get to this place where you understand that you did not bring yourself to where you are, you begin to look back and thank God that even when I had lost my mind did not cause me to lose my life. I wish I had some help in here. There were things that never brought to my attention that I thank God that quickly exited out of my mind before I ever acted on it, because I was pressured. I felt the weight. I felt the stress, and it seemed that nothing was turning, and the only thing I had was God had a hedge of protection around me. We ought to praise God. You ought to put your hands together when you think about the protective hand of God over your life. But then the psalmist helps us in verse 7. He tells us not only did God protect us, but he said that there's nowhere I could have gone that I could have escaped fellowship with him. I wish I had some help in here. Because there's some moments when we get in that place where we don't want to be around anybody. But aren't you glad that God doesn't leave you alone in that place, but he comes to visit you in your midnight hour and pats you on the back and say, baby, it's going to turn around for your good if you just hang on in there and keep the faith and keep trusting. I know you can't see it right now, Hopewell, and somebody's sitting here right now said, Pastor, I hear you, but ain't nothing happening. But I'm telling you right now, God is still walking with you. God is still talking with you. And if you'll hang on through the midnight, joy will come in the morning. Am I talking to anybody in here? Psalmist says to us, he says that, and if you conclude the whole chapter, you will begin to discover all he wanted God to do was to know him. Can I tell you that some of the greatest ways we get to know God is as we share in the fellowship of suffering. God never promised us that our road was going to be easy, and that they were going to roll out the red carpet before we arrived, and they were going to treat us like they do when the paparazzi are around, and they will have cameras flashing when you show up. Sometimes you're going to go and you're going to be the person that everybody is trying to get out of the party. Sometimes you're going to be the one getting fired and walking out of the door with your head down. But baby, understand, God is still walking with you. David, the psalmist says that if I go to the heavens, you're there. If I go to the pit of hell, there you are. I can't get away from God. When I thought about this, Reverend Dillon, it gave me both comforted and also afraid. Can you think about the fact that God is with me when I'm in trouble? But God is also walking with me when I'm being in disobedience. That sometimes you want God to be close to us because we need him and we need to feel his presence. But by the same token, there sometimes we wish God was as far away from us as he could be because of what our minds and our hearts are telling us to do. But he said, I can't get away from God. I can't get away from him because God is always there and God is always with me. And then he tells us that he is sovereign over every circumstance. Everything that's taking place, God is sovereign over. When I look at this text, I thought about this. We're talking about surviving those seasons of stagnation, and you think about the seed in you. The first thing I want you to remember out of this text is that you are divinely designed. Verse 13 tells us, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. First of all, you see that we have been crafted by the Lord. He said that he created all of my inward parts. When you think about the human body, it's a marvelous creation that God put every part in its order, in working order. And he knew what you needed. He brought all of that together and put it in you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. God did that. And not only did he bring every part in his place in his crafting, but number two, he also covered it. Here's what he says. He said, he keeps me growing in my mother's womb. Every time you take a breath in and take a breath out, you ought to thank God that you are not stillborn. I know it's been hard since you got here and the things you've had to go through, but you ought to thank God that you do have the experience of this thing called life. That God did not allow you to die, to give up in the womb. And then watch this. Those that were carrying us didn't give up on us while we were in the womb. That's another sermon for another day. But God covers us. Even when we were out of sight of the world, God was taking care of us. Watch this. He gave your mother an umbilical cord that was connected to the baby so that whatever she ate was nourishment to you. God covered you. Made sure you had your daily bread even before you could feed yourself. God made sure your bones grew and your organs grew and everything about you was maturing to the place of where it could eventually go forth through the birth canal and you could be a birth baby boy or girl, because he crafted you and he covered you. But then watch this. He says he conceals us. He says he saw. He says my substance was not hid from you, even as it was being formed in the depths of my mother's womb. Normally when you see in the text in the Old Testament, you see the depths of the earth. He's talking about death. But here he uses this context to give us the insight of what it's like to be in the mother's womb. He says that you were hidden from everybody else. Your parents, they were anticipating, what is this baby going to be like when he get here? Your future friends, your future spouse, neighbors and friends, they were wondering what that baby is going to be like when the baby comes. But the Lord could look beyond that. He had concealed and he had kept you covered and allowed you to form out of sight in the womb, ready to break forth at the right time. Somebody say 9 months. The baby came. But God kept the baby concealed until he was ready for the baby to come forth. That's a word for somebody. God knows how to keep you concealed and under wraps until he's ready to bring you forth. Because see, if you come forth too early, they call it premature. You can't handle the things that you need to handle because you came forth too early. And if you go past the due date, they got to go in and do a C-section because they got to get you out of there. You've been in there too long. You'll grow too large to be encompassed in the womb any longer. But at the proper time, God knows how to bring what's concealed out into the open. Because the world prematurely can hurt a baby that's not ready to experience it. And then a baby that grows too large can't stay in that place because the womb was not meant for you to stay there forever. But at the proper time, I'm trying to help you to understand, God brings us forward into the world when we are ready by his own timetable. They didn't know what you would become. Your parents just want you to do what's right and, you know, do that kind of stuff. But they had no idea of all that God had put in that baby that he could see behind the womb. The wall of the womb, God could see all that he had put in that baby and all that he was forming. He put a president of Drake State in the womb. He put a pastor in the womb, a future deacon in the womb. He put a choir member in the womb, a business owner in the womb. And he concealed us until it was our time to break forth. Everything that's about us and everything that's in us, God put it in right there. Oh, I thank God for this. everything about you and everything that will ever be in you. Eventually you get the Holy Spirit that comes into you, but everything that God gave you by way of gift and by name of anointing and purpose, everything about you in that regard, God put in you in the womb. So then what a tragedy it is for us to live this life and never get to that part of what God put in us while we were still in the womb. The reason I know it's this case, because God tells Jeremiah, he says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. And that word knew, gnosko in the Greek, which means that I had intimate knowledge of you. I could see you. I could look down through the telescope of history and see all that you would do, all that you would become, wherever you would go, what you would go through. I saw all of that while you were in the womb. I had you concealed as a baby, getting ready for all that you would have to do. But I gave you broad shoulders and big arms that you could handle and carry the weight of all that would come once you broke forth. But while you are concealed, I know everything about you. I know everything I put in you, because I am the one that made you. Here's what you got to understand. If he's the one that went through all of that and knows all of that, you got to stop letting the opinions of others dictate what and how you do your life. I'm going to just give y'all this. I stopped worrying about a long time ago what y'all thought about me and what I do as a pastor. I got to obey God and not you, because I know what God put in me. And if I don't bring forth what he put in me, I'm going to have a problem with him when I stand before him. So I can't worry about the opinions of what you don't like and what you don't care for, because my purpose is not to you but to him. And let me just help you right now and free yourself on the pew you're on. Your purpose is not to your pew mate and to all those folks that's in your ear trying to figure out what you're doing. You need to focus on the one who knew you in the womb, who covered you, concealed you, and crafted you, because he is your creator. Talk about the seed that we have been given to sow. But you got to realize that there's a seed that God put in you first. Before you ever go out to sow any seed anywhere else, you got to understand and know that you are a seed yourself. God made a seed investment in you. While you were in your mother's womb, God put something in you that pertains to his glory and his purpose being revealed. You ought to walk in and live in it and then finish the will of God, so that you can find your reward with him when it's all over. The sad thing about today is after this message, somebody's still going to say, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Can I tell you that not only are we divinely designed, but we are marvelously made. Here it is. He says that I'm going to deal with that praise you in just a minute, but I want to deal with this part. He says that I am wonderfully, fearfully and wonderfully made. You ought to pat yourself right now and say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That means that it's a marvelous creation what God has right here. And I know you say that there's some ugliness about you, but there's some ugliness about all of us. There's some fault. There's some guiltiness about all of us. There's some stain that's been on all of us. There's some disappointment that's been a part of all of us. But don't ever forget that in the divine creation of God on your life, that you are created in his image. Come here, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. He says that God says, watch the verbs here. He says, let us make man in our own image. That's joy right there. And the Bible says that from the dust of the ground, he formed man. Oh, that's joy again right there. Not only did he say, let us make, and then it also form, but then the Bible said that on the ground that man laid on, he said that by God breathed into him the pneuma, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God made in his image. God formed him. Oh yeah, he formed him, and then he breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And then he crowned that thing even further, and he laid him to sleep and pulled out one of his ribs and brought forth the most beautiful. wonderful creation that he ever allowed to walk the face of the earth when he made that woman. Brothers, y'all might as well just go on and agree with me. He made us in his image. Then watch this. When you visit and survey Psalm 8, he says, around verse 5 and 6, he says there, he says, and thou hast created him a little lower than the angels, and you've given him dominion over all of the works of your hand. God created and he gave us dominion over it. And he said that as he gave him a dominion over those things, he said he put all of those things under man's feet. God made him the crown of creation. So regardless of how you look at your neighbor, even that bum that's on the street, you've got to understand that all of us were created in his image as he crowned us. Wonderfully made. When he says this, he says, God has created us wonderfully and fearfully. He says, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows this very well. When you understand that God created you and crowning you in his own image, you also have an awakened consciousness. Your consciousness is that God is an awesome creator. And he made a personal investment in me. That's why the psalmist said that my soul knows this very well. Every day you walk out of the house, you ought to remind yourself of God's wonder in creation. He didn't have to do it, and he didn't have to do it the way that you think he did it, but he did it. And you are aware that God is the one that did it. Regardless of your shape, you ought to thank God that you're made by him. Regardless of your scars, you ought to thank God that he made you in his image. Regardless of your pain and all of the things you endure, you ought to thank God that he made you the way he did. Then he said, because I have a consciousness of him and because I understand that he crowned me, then he says, I learned how to celebrate that fact. He says, when I understand that God made me as I am, I begin to celebrate and praise God for what he has made. Let me tell you, it's hard to come to church when you're going through a season of stagnation. And to keep celebrating and to keep praising God, even though you know who you are and what God told you, but because nothing is happening, your praise can dry up. So what he teaches us is don't tie your praise to the things that are not or are happening around you. But tie your praise to the purpose that God already ordered before any of that stuff ever started. Y'all still sitting there. Somebody right now, you can't praise. Because even though I'm telling you all about what God created, you're still wondering, yeah, but I still got this going on and I got that going on. If you would just release it right now and begin to think on God's goodness in creating you the way he did, you could celebrate afresh that God made me. And regardless of what I'm going through, I'm his and he's mine. And eventually God's going to turn that thing around for my good. One of the things we wrestle with in our generation, it troubles me that we have a rise, especially among African Americans, in suicide. Suicide is based in the ultimate rejection of who God created us to be. It comes from the enemy fooling and tricking us into believing that we are less than what God said. And we reject and begin to despise the person that we see looking at us in the mirror. And then there's a determination that made that I cannot live in this any longer. But can we rebuke the devil in someone's life right now and just cause you to focus on the first phrase of verse 14, learn to rejoice in the Lord and to praise him for what he has has created. Because here's the thing, I tell you, that even though you may look at yourself and say, I realize I'm an unfinished product, but can you also thank God that since Jesus came into your life, he has made it, you're no longer the same as you were, and there's hope now in Jesus Christ. But to despise and to reject self is to reject what God has created. The last thing I leave with you is this. We consider that we are divinely designed. We are marvelously made. But what really gave me joy is to know that I am precisely purposed. It's in the text in verse 16, you see, that it's with clarity. There are moments where I have to admit that I can't see. As the song says, I won't complain. There are moments where the clouds hang so low you can't hardly see the road and the way you're going. It may look like you're on the wrong path to success and to going forward and to progressing in the things that God has called. But God sees that road clearly. Watch the text. The text says, thine eyes did see my substance yet being unperfect. Here's what the Holman Christian Standard Bible says. He says, God saw me fully formed even though I was formless. It goes back to the creative authority of God when he says that in the midst of nothing, creatio ex nihilo, God spoke and there was something that came forth. It just testifies to what God is able to do. When we feel that our lives are aimless and formless, that God sees us as fully formed with full purpose. Even though we are imperfect. Here's the thing. When the Lord sends Jeremiah to the potter's house and he wants him to observe the potter's work and he has the clay that's on the wheel. Have you ever thought about where that potter gets that clay from? The potter has to go outside of his house, reach down in the dirt, and get a bowl of dirt. That's progress. The potter picks up the bowl of dirt from the ground outside, carries it himself into the house. That's progress. Not only does he pick it up off the ground, carry it into the house himself, but he puts it on his own wheel. That's progress. And then the whole time that the thing is spinning and is being formed, he keeps his hands intact on the clay. That's progress. So here it is. You got a piece of clay that was outside the house on the ground off the wheel that's picked up off the ground, brought in the house by the potter, put on the wheel, and he keeps his hands on it during the whole process. That is the kind of God that we have. That even though our lives were at one point formless and aimless, God picked us up from where we were, brought us into his house, and since we've been here, he has not ceased to keep his hand upon us. Baby, you can be encouraged today because what you can't see in yourself, God already saw. From the moment he found you out there in the midst of the sinful world you were in, God saw purpose and destiny. And he said, wait a minute, that's mine. I claimed them from the womb. I know they're out there messing up and doing this over here, but that's mine. That's my clay there. When nothing seems to be present in us and present for us, God sees us as fully formed. Can you celebrate the fact that even as we celebrate, he saw us fully formed? I just celebrate the fact that he just saw me. Oh, we all not get so did in beside ourselves. Let me just tell you something. When we were in sin, we thought we had it going on. We were living it up, and we were just doing things our way. But I'm so glad that he looked from the cross 2,000 years ago, and he saw me where I was. And he didn't throw me away. He said he'd messing up because he don't know who I am yet. And that's all that's wrong with your neighbor and your cousin them, is that they just don't know who he is yet. He's been searching for them all of their lives, and they've been trying to get to him. They just didn't know it was him they were looking for. But he saw us where we were. Not only does he see us with clarity, but it is a comprehensive sight. Because he says that when we see, he sees us. He sees us as fully formed. But watch this. He says all of our days were written in your book. And they were planned. Let me tell you what this includes. It's comprehensive, I'm telling you. That includes every page, every story, every narrative of your hurt, every instance of your pain, your problem, your sickness, your sadness, your sorrow. It includes every day of your frustration. It was already written in the book. Here's what brings me joy. I was a history lover in high school, because here's what you begin to understand when you're a history buff. You understand that in life there are experiences that are remembered and there are experiences that we'd rather forget. But at the end of the day, it's his story. Oh, I wish y'all would hear me. See, it's your experience, but it's his book. Y'all still ain't said that. See, you can't get beside yourself when you get caught up in your own experience, because he owns the rights to the book. And if I could plead with him, there's a whole lot of pages I would encourage him to not have written in my life story and in my life's experience. But I don't have privilege, because it's not my biography that I'm writing myself. He's writing it for me. And here's what I love about it. From the beginning, he already knows the ending. And while I'm in the middle of it, he knows how it's going to turn out. So while I'm frustrated today, God has already said, if you hang on, tomorrow is going to be a little bit better, a little bit closer to your destiny. But I'm already here at the end, and I'm speaking to you from the beginning. I wrote the book. Here it is. Psalm 37 tells us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Even when it looks like you have gone off the path, the Lord knows your steps. And every one of them he remembers, and he knows them. He knows everything that we will go through in the bringing forth of our purpose and our destiny. And someone may say one day about our life, did it really take all of that? But if you remember the narrative and the illustration I gave you at the beginning, if you want to make a squash, it takes 2 summers. But if you're trying to build an oak tree, it takes 100 years. For some of us, God has taken a longer route to build us into what he would have us to be. But whatever it is, we got to understand that even as his work is clarity, his work is comprehensive. But I love it because his work is completed. He knows how it ends before it even begins. He says it's already been written. You know, we think about the news that comes out every day. They have a deadline each night. They got to get it in before the next morning in order for it to be included into the next day's story. And if perhaps it misses that deadline, you'll hear about it the next day. But you know, nobody likes to hear about old news. But aren't you glad that when folks look at your life, they're not looking at a story that continually is changing every single day and every season because of what you're going through? They're looking at really a finished written work that's just playing out before our eyes. I wish I had some help here. Jesus says when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, for this cause came I into the world, when the purpose was to die for all of humanity. That was a finished book. So when you're seemingly stagnant, remember that the book is dedicated entirely to his glory and you manifesting his purpose. The ink is already dry on your experience. God knows the seed that he put in you, and he knows the power that he put in you. From the beginning to the end, God knows. He wants you to understand and remember that his promise in this season outweighs anything that you're going through. And if I could tell you this in closing, when you keep reading, I thank God that she read Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you. Is anybody glad that you know God knows his plans? Well, this writer tells us in verse 17 how precious are the thoughts of God toward his children. He says, oh God, how great is the sum of them toward us. And if I should count them, they are more in number than I can count. He says they're more than the sand on the sea. Because I know the Lord is still on my side. And I heard Paul say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Yeah, well, all you need to do is remind yourself that God is on your side. Have I got a witness here? And the psalmist said that when I consider the goodness of the Lord, he says, I will lay down and go to sleep. And then after I've slept, I wake up because the Lord sustained me. Have I got a witness here? I want to just close by telling you, when you lay down last night, you didn't know if you would wake up on today. But can you thank God that as bad as yesterday was and how you felt in your purpose, right early this morning, he woke you with his finger of love. Yeah, Lord. And I don't know about you today, but I thank God that he has a purpose for my life. And other folk may not understand why you're going through all you're going through, but all I want to help you to understand is Paul said, whatever we're going through, God's got grace that is sufficient. So all I'm trying to tell you is hold on to God's unchanging hand. Keep the faith through your night. God will turn it around. Yeah. How do you know he will? I let my mind go back to one Friday on a hill called Calvary. Jesus was on that cross. He had a destiny to have every name be under his name and every knee bow to him and every tongue confess him as Lord. But right there on that cross, there he was, seemingly suffering under the weight of something that had nothing to do with elevation. But can I tell you, he died on that cross.